This morning, we're going to talk a little bit about from the standpoint of Elijah, because the Lord started dealing with me, and especially we started this off, he got over into the things, because we started looking at the return of Jesus, and we talked about John the Baptist, who came in the spirit of Elijah. And the Lord was dealing with me about this thing with Elijah, because over my Christian walk now, he has dealt with me a number of times concerning Elijah. Things that some experiences I've had, some supernatural experiences that were revelations were given to me on certain things. And he emphasized that as I got in and we started into this teaching. And I didn't know exactly how he was going to go with it. But one of the things is we were looking at the patterns that God dealt with people. In other words, gave signs to people in his first coming. And also, he will do in the same manner. In fact, he's going to do it throughout. God has always given people signs of things coming with change and different things happening. There's no such thing as God don't warn people ahead of time. People usually ignore things or they don't pay attention to stuff. But God is always, you know, getting people prepared or ready. One of the things that it is the Holy Spirit's in you. Jesus said specifically he would show you things to come. So we should not expect to be blind about this. In fact, from a church world standpoint, most of the church world, you know, well, you know, like God, you know, he's mysterious and you don't know and things and what he's going to do. Well, God can't expect much out of you if you don't know what he's going to do. You know, if you don't know what's happening, I mean, if you work somewhere and you never knew what was going on or going to happen, it gets a little hard trying to figure out what's going to happen to go on next at a place. You can't really prepare anything ahead. Well, God doesn't operate in that manner. And I want to look at this because we looked at the Elijah to come was at the time we looked at the fact that John the Baptist, God, the spirit of Elijah was on him, and there's a purpose. It's one of the things we want to understand about that. The purpose of the spirit of Elijah was for the fact of getting people to repent. That's what it was, getting ready for the Messiah. Now, there's not going to be any different. If God spoke to Israel, their Messiah was going to show up and he was trying to get them prepared for it. In fact, he sent a man to them specifically, and that's what John's ministry was for. Yet Israel as a nation was not ready for the Messiah. They didn't get ready. You know, they came along, you know, people say, well, they believed in John, but the leaders didn't believe in the thing at all. They didn't follow in it. And if you look at the fact of the things that happened to Israel because of it, nationally, they didn't accept the Messiah, has cost them dearly over time. And there's no difference in it today. We need to understand, you know, God speaking and saying things. There has so much been said. It's one of the things that I've often thought about it because there's been so many things said about the Lord coming, and people have said so much about when they thought it was going to happen, and there's been so much that it actually discouraged people. After all, people don't listen, but we can't go to that place. You know, we can't get ourselves over where we don't want to hear that. We need to let God talk to us about these things, because one thing I've learned in my Christian walk is this, that God operates in patterns. Now, not each pattern is identical to one another, but the same principles always fall in those patterns. The same principles do. And this is one thing you got to know, because if you don't learn about God in that manner, you're going to have a hard time following things with him. You know, when the Bible talks about God does a new thing, well, see, I hear people, I remember years back when I came into the kingdom and people would say, well, in these last days, he's going to do a new thing. Well, according to the word, he's not. It's new to you and I. It might be new in our time that it's done. But God's not doing new things. God's going to always, if he's going to do something new that's never been done before, then we're not going to have any place in the word to be able to verify it, would we? No, we're going to be able to fight. We're going to see it in the word. He may do something a little differently, he does, but he's going to be able to follow the patterns. He always does. And one of the things that the Lord dealt with me, and I want to talk about this morning, is, and I have ministered this a number of times, but God wanted to remind me about right now and his showing people or revealing to people what he's going to do. Is in the same thing as we need to understand, as the Lord spoke to me and reminded me, because, and we're going to talk about with Kenneth Hagin, with God, you know, called him and said his ministry was going to be to get God's people ready for his second coming or his coming for the church. That's what he was going to do with him, using him. In other words, he was a sign to the people today. He was assigned. We're going to talk about, because something the Lord said to him, I'm going to read it to you then. Something you can see, we can learn from some things. But I want to do this. The Lord said to me to go back over to the thing. We're back in April of 1991. One night, the Lord was talking. I was doing some just general studying in the Bible, and I wasn't really looking at anything from the standpoint of specifically the Lord talking to me about end times. I wasn't even studying in that direction. In fact, it's always been funny to me what the Lord talked to me about end times is usually I'm not looking in that direction at all. And all of a sudden he'll start talking to me about that thing, you know. And so, but he spoke to me and he said, I want to take you over. He said to 1 Kings, he said, the 18th chapter, I'm going to show you about the move of God in Lebanon Valley. And he spoke specifically to me about Lebanon Valley. That's what he said about a move here. Because there's some other visitation things that I have had concerning that and things the Lord has spoken to me over the years concerning the United States, concerning the move of God. Now, one of the things I found this very interesting, this was in 1991, and about 4 or 5 years ago it was, I was down in Gatlinburg at a meetings. And Randy Greer says, the Lord gave me a message of what he's going to do in his move in this end times. And he goes, go to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. And he went through it just like the Lord told me about. See, and I want you to get a picture of things. There is a move of God coming, and there is a pattern, and it's going to follow after the pattern of Elijah. It's going to follow after that pattern. See, we see when John the Baptist came, he followed after that pattern of Elijah. The pattern of Elijah is getting God's people to turn. That's the pattern, to get God's people ready. God's going to do something, people need to get ready. And Elijah, we're going to find that's what Elijah was doing at that time. God was trying to get his people returned. When John the Baptist came along, he's doing the exact same thing, trying to get God's people ready. Kenneth Hagin was specifically called to that, to get God's people ready for the second coming. He operated under the spirit of Elijah. That's what he was. If he was the next John the Baptist to do that, well, then he would have to be operating under that same principle. But I want you to understand it. Number one, I operate under that same principle because I'm called under that same anointing. We need to understand that people are called to that today. That's the pattern. Most of the world, we want a revival, a move out here of people getting saved, and that's good. But God wants to get his people ready. What would the move be if his people got ready? And this is what God is moving for. The church keeps trying to jump ahead of what God is doing. We have this tendency to be drawn to outcome. Just outcome. We're trying to get there to that outcome. And it's one of the things is, I remember Kenneth Hagin saying this as I was a younger Christian, and he made mention, and it really helped because he said, you know, sometimes God will speak to you, and he said, it may be a few years before you actually get into doing what he's talking to you about. And he said he had the tendency that God told him something, he tried to just get into it. And I want to tell you, that's exactly what's going on today. People are trying to make the move of God. No, God makes the move. You don't. What we do is we walk in the light of the Word and the revelation that we have. And when he tells us to move or tells us it's time to do something, then let's step into that. But we can see certain things that we're moving to right now. And I want to get to this because of what happened concerning Elijah. And I want you to see this. I want to emphasize this today. In when the Lord gave me this revelation, one of the things that we have in 1 Kings, and in the 17th chapter of Kings, it had there where Elijah, in the first three verses, it talks about there. And I'm just going to quickly read that to you. And it says, and Elijah the Tishbite, of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain 3 years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Now I want you to see this. God is understand this. Elijah, we talk about, we read in book of James, and James said that, you know, that Elijah prayed and it didn't rain, and then he prayed it rained. But he didn't initiate it. God moved him to do it. He's not doing this. You need to understand this. We got to be led by the Spirit. We need to be led by God telling us, you know, we don't just decide on ourselves to do things. And so, God's initiating this. God hid him away for a time. And I forget this, the Lord dealt with me about it. I didn't understand at the time, and this is one of the things is why I've learned over the years, don't be so quick to put your interpretation on whether you have a visitation or something special happens. Lots of times it's good to wait and see what goes on, because there's things that you begin to see. But I started to understand this when God spoke to me about that, about hiding the church away, and you know, I didn't really realize what it was. But you know, the church has been hidden away. See, the church, you know, the church is the author of the move of God, and we're the ones that God uses in the earth to do what He does. And people are sitting here and saying, well, you know, things sort of got turned off and certain things. We need to understand concerning the areas of judgment. Many times God will pull His people back and let this thing go for a while. Why? He's trying to get people's attention. I want to talk about this because as we look at this thing, see, many people, we're today, people want rain. They say, well, the Bible says in the time of the latter rain, pray for rain. But I'm going to tell you what, there's fire comes before rain. And judgment deals in that area. You know, fire can mean, most people think about fire in the Bible. They think about all kind of glorious things happen. But judgment deals in the areas of fire. And it's a purpose for it. You know, fire can be very comforting and warming when it's cold, but I'll tell you what, it can burn you up. You get messing with, you mess with fire and you don't control it. Fire can cause you major problems. And God told him immediately, said, in other words, God's not going to change this thing quick. He's not going to change it. In other words, you go hide, you go sit down. They're going to live with this. This is what they're going to live with. You see, we need to understand these kinds of things. We don't, you got to follow patterns and things with God. God did it all the time. You know, there's some things we don't like that. We don't, you know, we treat judgment as if it's just some just evil, bad thing. No, there's a purpose in it. There's purpose in judgment. We can learn from judgment. We can learn from these things. Learn things to do and not to do. In other words, judgment comes because, it isn't because of man's great godliness and man's great goodness. It comes, people have messed up. God, in other words, God pulls blessing away. See, many, God has been so protective over America, it blows my mind. I mean, it just blows my mind. We have nations that aren't as evil as we are. Just like Israel did. But eventually it runs out. It's going to run out. We're seeing this. Warnings are up. Warnings are up. And people aren't responding to the warnings. That's what the Lord told me about with the last presidential election. He said the church didn't pay any attention. I told them what. And they. Now, you need to understand, if God's talking to you and you don't hear Him, that's your problem. If you didn't take time to hear Him, that's your trouble. That's yours. I learned that. I've had God to correct me on things. I've heard things and known things, and He would say to me, "It's it. I already told you about that." And I think, "Oh my God, you did." But you know, I didn't hold it in the place I should. I didn't hold it in the spot that I should. See, we need to understand it. We have the Spirit of God in us. He is warning us. He don't want you to get run over by the trouble that's coming. Many Christians will. They'll get run over by the trouble. They're going to get run over. But we find this, God did something. But God took him and hid him. He took him care for a period of time. Now, you want to understand this. He didn't send him to the Hilton. You want to understand this about when judgment comes. Christians are very uncomfortable today because of what's going on in our nation. We need to quit whining. Stop it now. What do you think about this prophet? He's doing everything right. He has to go out and sit a chair, but they say, well, you know, he got fed by, you know, ravens came and gave. But he's sitting out there in the wilderness at this place. He ain't down there where there's a lot of entertainment things going on, and he can go do what he wants. Now, the creek dries up. And you know where God sends him to? God sends him to a widow woman's house that ain't got nothing. He didn't send him to comfort place. He didn't send him to the comfort place. He sent him to Zarephath, which is Sidon. And Sidon, that is, they weren't covenant people. That's just not Jews. In fact, that's what the people in Nazareth got so upset at Jesus about. You know, they got upset at him because he read the scriptures and they said, well, who does he think he is? He's Joseph's son. He's this and that and the other thing. And he said, yeah, remember about Elijah? He said, where did God send him? To the widow in Zarephath. And they got mad. Why? because he didn't send him to Israel. He sent him down there to the people who didn't have a covenant. Sent him down there to take care of a woman, not any Jew. Why? Because Jews were under judgment at the time and wouldn't repent. Oh, yeah. See, you don't get these kind of stories preached, but they're the ones that are there. We like to ignore them. We got the positive message. This is the positive message. Keep you out of trouble. This just talking good is putting people in more trouble. It's like, no, man, you're doing things that hurt yourself. But God didn't send him. We need to understand when these things happen, sometimes it puts us in discomfort. You know, here in our nation, we have things that are going on and it discomforts us and there's things going on and it's not good. But you know what? If we trust God, He'll take care of us in this thing and that stuff. And He might not send you to the Hilton. I don't care what the prosperity preachers say. He didn't send him to the hill. This guy's done nothing wrong. He's God's man. sometimes you go. So one thing is I learned, I watched Brother Hagin's ministry. I never saw a guy through so much discomforting stuff. He's walking right. The persecution, the things that happened to him and stuff that went on because of walking right. And you know what? Loads of it came from the church. And it came from the spirit filled. Came the people. We only don't touch our holy cows, man. Don't touch our stuff, man. Don't mess with it. And stuff starts happening and they turn. But you know what? He never complained. He never complained about it. He just walked with God and blessed people. And that's what we got to be in this day and time. I don't care if they deserve it. You don't either. We just got to bless people. We're going to have to stay and walk in that place whether we like it or not. Hallelujah. We need to learn to grin and bear it. Hallelujah. But don't lose your joy. Hallelujah. See, you can't lose your joy and maintain faith. That won't happen to you. You can't do that. But anyhow, so this thing here happens. But finally we find out in 1 Kings 18, it says in verse 1, I just want to read, because we're going to read some of these verses, but not all of them. It says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year saying, go present yourself to Ahab and I will send rain on the earth. And one of the things that the Lord dealt with me concerning this over the years is saying about, you see, when I called him, I called him out. He didn't come out. I called him out. And one of the things that the Lord told me about, he said, I will call the church out in the last days. I'm going to call them out when it's time to come out. There is a time I've looked at things, at certain things dealing with prophecies about the end time that really deal with that kind of stuff. And yet people miss it. They don't. We interpret things in our own ideas, but it's a fact of the anointing of God comes on people and they start to step out. You know, Kenneth Hagin talked about, like, you know, with the years he talked about in ministry, he got over praying back in the late 30s and early 40s about the move of God because he said we didn't have much of a move of God going in America. He said it wasn't really much going on. And he said, I prayed and prayed about it. He said the Lord told him then that there was going to be a revival coming after the end of the Second World War. There was one going to come. It started in 1948. The healing revival started, which went over in and we had the charismatic renewal followed and all these kind of things took place. But we need to understand, see, these things took place, in other words, but it wasn't until the anointing of God came and it did it. Man didn't bring it to pass. God brought the church out in America. That's what He did. He brought the church out and in the same manner. See, this is one thing. We want to pray and seek God and hear what He wants to do. And then, you know, we don't try to make Him do stuff. That isn't what we're doing. God has a plan and our whole thing is to seek Him. What do you want to do? And when you want me to do it, we'll go ahead and we'll do that. And that's what we need to fall into that pattern. Trying to, you know, we're just going to push the button, pull the chain, and God's going to do it. We're, you know, that idea, that's not what it's about. That's not what faith is about with us. You know, I don't have to sit around and wait concerning God for healing and things like that. We, as we're believers, that is part of what was given to us, we have. But there's things about the plan of God and move of God. You ain't going to make it happen. See, all these people, you know, I've heard these people say, well, you know, Jesus can't come back till we get this done and that done. I say, well, if that there is true, then what happened with Israel? Jesus came back and they weren't ready. Like, He's going to wait for you to get ready. Get over yourself. He'll make the announcement and if you ain't ready, He'll bypass you. That's simple. I mean, it's, but all this stuff and these people saying all these things that, not just here. Jesus can't come back until we get ready and do that. Are you kidding me? God don't, we're controlling God? Well, then I've told people, if they say that, and I said, good, I'm going to live like hell so he can never come back. That's all we got to do. If we have to arrive on it, I ain't going to do what's right. He can never come back. The devil will win. You know, Christians don't listen 2 seconds to what, you know, just like we heard today. He sent an email out. We got this book and Christians are dumb as a stick. I mean, they don't. God don't know. You think about it. He ain't God if he don't know when Jesus is coming back. If he don't know, he ain't God. He don't know everything. See, we need to get some things in our mind. Yeah, but people have said things for so long and they got around where they believed them. But I want you to show this. In hiding, now get this, because when he comes out of hiding, he first runs into Obadiah. This is a guy that works for Ahab. And Obadiah is a righteous man. He does right. And he's working for Mr. Evil. He's working for the devil. There's really something. I mean, God has this guy stuck working there, but God used him, because we find this in 1 Kings 18, verse 13 says, and this is what Obadiah says to Elijah. Was it not reported to you, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? Another Jezebel, you know, we always put her up, bad guy. You know, she's just this evil thing. Well, you know, I'll tell you, the really evil guy, this Ahab, because he was a guy that just whatever she wanted, she got. And anyhow, he says, the prophet's word, he said, I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophet, 50 to a cave, and led and fed them with bread and water. In other words, God had used him to hide out what the prophets. Now, I understand what this is. The prophets and that things are the preachers of the day. See, there's a lot of things that we don't, that the church don't have voice into today. The church really don't have voice into the government today. We don't have any. You don't have a voice in the government. We don't have voice. Oh, we got lots of guys down in Washington talk about being Christians. But you never hear them talk Christian stuff. You know, if they want to talk about what's going to change the nation, it's whatever they're going to do politically. That's what's going to change the nation. They don't ever stop saying, man, we just need to seek and pray God. God, we need God to turn this nation around. They're not. And the preachers know out here. Why? Because, you know, the people of anointed are being hidden away. But God's going to call them out. There's going to be people called out. There are people going to come out of their caves. God's been holding them there. God's been him. There's a time. God has a time. He's letting the drought get worse and worse. Now, I want you to think about it. What would it do in this area here if we didn't get rain for 3 years and not even dew? In other words, no moisture in the air. Air is completely dry. There's nothing. You get no dew. 3 years. What do you think it's going to be like at the end of the 3 years? I'm going to tell you what, ain't no farmers planting anything. Ain't nothing. I mean, everything's done burn up. There ain't nothing left. I don't want to go through that. I don't want, you know, my God. But anyhow, you know, judgment, this judgment's fallen. But God has his people hidden away. See, this is the other thing, is where, you know, the church is the light of the world. You know, the world's stupid out here. They don't realize it. They can cut, and even Christians can get God and cut things off where God will take the people that can bless and go pull them back and hide them back, and they won't bring blessing. That's what they did. See, they're the voice. The prophets were the voice of God to the nation in there. That's who they were, God's voice. God ain't talking to them. God's not speaking to Ahab. God's not talking to the nation. God's not talking to people. See, we can go through this where people, where even Christians will get so far out, God quits talking to them. Say, okay, you didn't want to hear me? Give me some time. You'll want to hear me. You'll definitely want to hear me. You'll want to know something. But the voices that can hear him, he'll pull them back so they don't speak. They won't speak. This is one of the things that we have so much false prophets today. God, they're not hearing from God, and people expect them to hear. So they're saying to people what they want to hear. They're saying to people, they're out here. See, that's like with Jezebel. She had all the false prophets. These are the boys out here. They're the guys. These are the guys out here doing it. And it's going on. I'm going to tell you what, there's a big silence today on a lot of things. There's a lot of things God will not have people say. He'll let alone. He might tell, God tells me things, but not everything should be said. It's not for everybody to know. It's not for everybody to hear. Why? Because he doesn't cast pearls to swine. People who mistreat God's word. Well, people had mistreated, the leaders of the nation had mistreated. They have this huge problem. Well, the Lord talked to me about this because it's Elijah. Now, this is this picture. Why? Because God's called him out now, and he comes out. And what he did is 1 Kings in verse 18 and verse 19 and 20 and 21. We're going to read those. And it says, and therefore, he said this to Ahab when he finally ran up to Ahab. He said, and gather all Israel to Mount Carmel. He said, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on the Mount Carmel. He said, now then Elijah said this when the people gathered. He said, Elijah said to all the people, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. He said, all the people, but he said, the people answered him not a word. In other words, they didn't say a thing. See, there's a problem. See, this is one of the things that we're dealing with today. Even in the church world, there's people who have a mixed thing they call Christianity, but it's mixed. It's mixed with all kind of junk. It's mixed with all kind of stuff. The God, the idea of God today is something that's way out there weird on many Christians. Ideas, things. I mean, we have today, you know, if we deal with the areas concerning immorality and stuff like that, the book of Revelation deals with the harlot. The harlot's a prostitute. It's religion that has a lot of sexuality and weirdo stuff in it like we got today. You know, all the Christian homosexuality's all right. This is okay. We're going to do it. That's the harlot religion. These people, read the book of Revelation, read the churches. Look at the churches. He talked about it because they had people in them who were promoting all kind of sexual stuff. It's all okay. We need to understand this is the time that we're living in. This is the day and time that we're at. We need to understand we're living. This is one of the signs of the things of the time that we're in. We're seeing the church world, there's a major part of what was Christianity is moving over into this thing. It's the harlot. You know, we're seeing at one time, the Catholic Church was opposed to all that. Now this Pope is pushing everything over to that. You know, this is all moving toward the Antichrist system. That's what it is. People are out here. This is the things that are moving. So the prophets, we'll have people that are going to come out. And you know what? People are going to come out and they're going to decide. They're going to have them make a decision. There are preachers coming out in these last days and they're not going to talk the cute. And you're going to have the cute preachers that always want to hear positive. They'll be criticizing them real crazy because they'll be calling people out. It will not be liked. You know, Elijah's not Mr. Everybody Likes You guy. Ahab, if you read the story, has been trying to find him to kill him for 3 years because there's no. But he calls them out. But what's the people's answer? He said, well, who's God? In other words, they ain't got a clue. I've talked to Christians today. People, you know, even people that used to walk with God. I wonder if they all know anything. I wonder, who on earth are you serving? Who's God? Is Baal God or who? What is it? And so we have all this stuff. This is the stuff that's going on there. But I want you to get this. This is one of the things that over the years the Lord has really emphasized to me about this with Elijah is because of this is in 1 Kings and 18 chapters, verse 36. We want to look at the spirit of Elijah, what Elijah was like, what he was. And really, this is a type of people we need to become today. Especially in the areas of moving a move of God. In verse 36, it says this in 1 Kings 18, verse 36. It said, it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. You see his emphasis. His emphasis is that God gets magnified. It's not me. I'm just here doing what you told me to do. I'm your servant. Let him know that you're God. You know, we need to get back to that. There's too much to this today, you know, the big name people. We need to get back to big name God again. We got to come back to that. The big name God. You know, you're a servant. Sit down. Shut up. Quit blowing your horn. You know. Is people, you know, You know, we've got all this stuff, and I mean, I've watched this over the years, you know, and I would get calls from people, and they'd say, you know, we're going to come minister to your church. We have a miracle ministry. And I'd say, well, what miracles and stuff you're doing? You know, and that changes the whole subject. You know, people say, they go out and say, well, I'm making a statement of faith. Well, when you get it working, let me know. But you don't go around telling people you're something when it's not working. You know, today is a miracle if you go and got his headache killed. You know, that's the miracle. And that's, you know, I'm not against that. Man, you got a headache, you get it healed, that's nice. But that's the stand. Today what we have is the Nazareth ministries. They're the ones where Jesus can't do mighty works and he can only do, you know, some minor things. That's, hey, folks, it's here. If we don't identify it and say that's what's going on, we can play all these other games we want. But that's basically what's happening today. It's the Nazareth. It's the Nazareth ministries. You know? And I know this don't make people happy, but it is what it is. And, but you know, we go around blow our horns about nothing. Jesus is Lord. And what you and I do, we walk by faith and give or make ourselves available. If he wants to use us, he can. Hallelujah. But you know what? You're not going to go along in the areas of a lot of these churches and stuff. You're not going to get miracles going on. They ain't going to happen. That will not happen. I'm just telling you, it ain't going to happen. When people know what to do and don't walk in the light of it, they're in big trouble with God. It's not going to happen. I heard Kenneth Hagin in his own voice said, you ministers need to understand this. You ain't going to get most of your people healed. Boy, what a thing to say at a minister's meeting. And he'd say, well, just hang on and you'll find out why. But the whole bottom line is this, is people, are they want a move of God without them walking in the light they have. They don't want to walk in the light they have. You know, I'm just going to believe God. You know, you can for a while as baby Christians, but I've studied enough of these things and followed after enough things in ministries concerning moves of God. That's why it's easy. You know, like when I go overseas and minister, when I go to places, it's easy because a lot of times people didn't know nothing about the things that I was preaching. It was all, most of it was new to them. And God would heal in miracles. But like I'd go to Fiji. When I first started on to Fiji, I could get miracles going just like that. I could get stuff snapped going. I mean, I could get the anointing of God come into place. Probably want to knock everybody out. But after you go there and you do that a few times, then God starts expecting them. The last time I was over, the Lord said, the people in Fiji ain't picking. I said, you taught, but they ain't doing it. See, they want you to come. You be the star. They don't want Jesus. They want a star. They want a person they can see, touch, taste, feel. You know, they want the, that. That's what the people want. You get God on you and you come and make it happen. You know, you throw the switch and it all comes through you and you do all these wonderful things. And we go home and say, wasn't that great? Come back next week for the show. And that's what happens. Everybody has to come to the show because they can't have a show at home. They can't get it at home. They don't know how to get it. They aren't doing it at home. Hallelujah. I wondered why this, and I found out from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said, he said, miracles and signs and wonders ain't supposed to be going on in the church. He said, they're supposed to be going on in the world. He said, if you check my ministry, he said, my greatest miracles never happened in a church. Never happened. He said, they happened outside. He said, outside the church, he said, I had many times all kind of moves of God. I can tell you this. I've had more things of spectacular things happen outside from my home standpoint and people I was around than I ever have had in church. See, we have all this stuff today we're trying to have in the church. See, God is trying to get the church's attention. Because why? He wants a big move. This is why you go out here, there's certain guys going out here to the world, and there's all kinds of things happening. You know, Christopher Long, that guy gets more major miracles in one meeting than most Pentecostal ministers and all the Spirit-filled guys ever have had in their lifetime. Why? He's going to the world. He's going to the world. He goes out in the middle of the world. He goes out in the middle of all that mess. And boy, some stuff he goes through to get out there in the middle of that mess. But he goes out there and what he goes through, but he preaches and miracle after miracle, supernatural things happen. They're among the people that don't know, the people that aren't familiar with this stuff and people that don't know Christ. Why? We're supposed to be able to believe for these things. This is an important thing because of the time that we're in right now. So God visits Israel to get Israel's attention. This is His whole point, and He will do the same today. Verse 37, where I'll pick up from reading there, it says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that You are the Lord God, and that You have turned their hearts back to You again." It's You turning. Many times people are trying to turn people's hearts. This is one of the things I found out long ago. This is why people have a hard time ministering to any of their relatives, because they're trying to turn their relative's heart. Knock it off. They need to know it's not you, it's God. They need to know it's God. You know, somebody you know all about their life, you know, and you tell them something about they know that you know, you might say, "Well, God told me to talk to you about this." Well, prove it. They already know you know about it. I would much rather have, you know, if I know about somebody and that stuff, and they know that I know it, I don't bring that stuff up when you turn around and want to minister a person. You don't do that because that ain't going to be any proof to them that you heard something from God. Now, if you can come up and tell them something that they know that you don't know, that's a whole different ballgame. And see, those are the kind of things we need. Most people will minister to other people basically because of what they see. What's already sight. And that's not what we're trying to do. So this guy comes along. Now, he knows all these people are heathen, but he wants God to move. It's going to take God to move these people's hearts. It's going to take God to do it. You need to understand that. You ain't God. So, you know, don't pry for the job. You'll never get it. You're never going to have the job. Just let it alone. Then when he did this, in other words, he put himself in a position. Now, God, this is what we want you to do. God sent him here for this. But look at his approach to God in it. Even though God sent him there for it, hey, this God, you know, he does it. He knows God's going to do something in a big way. But he's not treating it like he's any kind of big deal. He wants to know that the people know up front, God's going to burn this thing up. This isn't me doing this without God. I don't do these. I don't make fire. I don't burn up rocks. God does that. Now, you listen to a lot of ministers today, they do it. They burn it up. They burn the rocks. They do. We do it. No. And this is his whole approach. He said, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifices, the wood, the stone, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench." And he said, "Now when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.' And Elijah said to them, 'Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escaped." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and executed them there. You know what Elijah did immediately? They said, "The Lord's God." Well, then let's act like it. So you can scream "The Lord's God" all you want. Better get the act on. So the first thing, he put them on the spot. Get the prophets. We're going to kill them. False prophets are going to die. Now, hopefully we don't have that today. I don't... you know, I'm not going to ask God for that one. But we want to see this. People are going to have to put stuff away. There's people who are going to have to quit listening to people. They're going to have to stop it. See, there's things you're going to have to put away. In other words, repentance is a turning away. In other words, they said, "Now the Lord's God." Well, now you're going to have to turn away from what you were doing. And in other words, you're going to have to get rid of the Baal thing. You're going to have to turn away from that. That's what you're going to have. See, there's things in the church world, God will call people out, and they're going to be called to turn away. Some will and some won't. Some are going to stay in their direction. I will guarantee you, just as sure as it is, some ain't going to turn. They're not going to turn from it. Some people like what's going on in this. And I tell you, they get set in their way. They're set. They're set in a way, and they like it. Say, "Well, do people get like that, even all this other stuff?" Yeah. I mean, I always use the thing. I worked with a guy at Reese's, and he knew that Jesus is Lord. He knew he needed to be saved. But he said, "I like my life the way it is. I like, in other words, while I'm here, this is what I want to do." He knew. But no, this is what I like. You know? The average person is going to follow other people. They're going to follow the crowd. They're going to follow the crowd. People, I don't want to be the odd guy out. I want to be the guy that they don't like anymore because I'm over here. I'm too much Jesus stuff. You're too much Jesus stuff. You know, a lot of people don't like that. They don't, you know, they don't, they, now I'm, well, you know, Yeah, but all my friends are over here doing, all my friends and everybody else. Well, grandma and grandpa, they, you know, yeah, you know, and they'll head in that direction. People do that. Hallelujah. But number one, see, I believe personally, at least from the Lord dealing with me, is that there's going to be a move of God that people, it's going to be undeniable, and people are going to make a decision whether it's Baal or God. They're going to decide. Dealing with Baal, it's the flesh. You follow the flesh and the things of the flesh, or you can follow the things of the Spirit, you can follow God. It's going to be the choice put out there. And we know this in the book of Revelation, the churches there. There's people who were following the flesh, and there was people who followed. And you know what's interesting? The churches that were following the flesh, the majority were following the flesh, because he said, there are some among you who haven't gone over there. In other words, there's always a minority that don't go with the crowd. Hallelujah. So you can just say this, I'm a minority. Hallelujah. I ain't following the crowd. I'm following Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the direction we're going. I mean, just think of all the people, though, that Jesus and all the ministry did, and really the small crowd that followed really after him. A phenomenal thing. I mean, you talk about seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. See, signs, wonders, and miracles don't change everybody's heart. You know why? The Bible tells us at different times about it. One of the things they said that people didn't follow after Jesus was because they would get turned out of the synagogue if they did. Oh, the synagogue was the church of their time. That's what it was. In other words, they won't let me come down the synagogue with everybody else if I follow Jesus. Oh, boy, they're out there today. Hey, they won't let me in the crowd to be there. I can't follow Jesus and I'm going this way. I don't want to get put out of the church. Man, there's a lot of churches people ought to want to get put out of. But it's not always the easiest thing to do. But in other words, they were called to repentance. And one of the things that the Lord dealt with me in this, because the Lord said to me the night that he showed me this, and some time since, he had reminded me, the fire came first, then the rain. See, the rain is what produces, which causes seed to germinate, produce fruit. That's what we want. See, that's the bottom line. God with Israel, God wanted to produce in Israel fruit. They didn't want it. Even when fire came, they didn't accept it. 70 AD, man, Israel loses its nation. It loses the whole bit. But he went to the Gentiles where it could rain. God's going to go to wherever he can produce fruit. That's what he's going to do. He's going to go to wherever he produces fruit. So one of the things he said about it, he reminded me, he talked about Elijah. He said, Elijah, you know, ran ahead of the king's chariot back to Jezreel. And the Lord said, in this last day, the church will outrun the world. It's going to outrun the world. That's what it's going to do. There's going to be, in other words, there's an anointing on the church. Hallelujah. They ain't going to overtake the church. The world won't overtake the church. It won't happen. Hallelujah. But we have to understand this. The fire comes and we don't really always like that. Give the rain. Let's have the big revival. Let's not deal with the problems. that's just normal. That's what people, you know. I don't want to have to confront anything. Because, you know, we like things that make us uncomfortable. You know, I've had over the years of people come and say, well, you know, it's such and such is going on. Our family had this problem, you know. I say, did you talk to them about it? Well, no. And I say, well, then live with it. Well, they don't like it if I say, oh. Well, so you like it the way that it is? Well, no. See, well, there's only one way it's going to change. You got to look them in the face and say, hey, man, I ain't going your path anymore. This is it. Now, this stops. Now, if you go on this way, you do it alone, but not with me. See, people don't like to do that. Why? Because discomforting. We don't want to call anybody on anything. We don't want to say nothing about, you know. I ain't going around nitpicking every little darn thing a person likes. But there's major problems going on, and nobody will deal with those problems because it makes people uncomfortable. And it's like today, we have done with our nation. We have not dealt with our problems. And what happened? Haven't they festered and gotten beautiful? This is from not dealing with problems. That's what it is. And the church is like it is because of the same thing. The church is the author of it. We love so much, we don't deal with problems. Because if you really love, you don't confront anything. You don't deal with nothing. Oh, no, 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 let it alone. Don't deal with anything. And we've let it go and let it go, and the problems fester and fester, and we sit in our nation and we're dealing with this stuff. People are out of hand in our nation. Why? Well, we've helped them for decades to get out of hand. Nobody ever dealt with them. Nobody said, you know, well, this is just the way they are. Yeah, we'll do it in some other planet, not here. You can be whatever you are and be someplace else, but not here. We don't do it. And, you know, I was reading an article, I had left, how to get your kid who's graduated from college and who won't ever leave home, you know, and just, how do you get him out of the house? I said, that's simple. That ain't no hard thing. They're taught how to diplomatically work through them. Now tell that sucker, you live in here, you don't have a job tomorrow, no more lunches, you get nothing. You're out in the street. When you come home, you ever walk out that door, you come home, there's going to be boxes out there. The three boxes that you have of things belong to you. All the thing else, stay in here. You're adios. But see, that is those problems. My parents never had to do that kind of stuff because you were raised to take responsibility. That's what you're not going to live with forever, mom and dad paying for everything and taking care of everything. I mean, that was just the way it was. Why? Because mom and dad didn't pay for everything and take care of everything when you lived in the house. They made you take care of things. You know, my words. Got a kid goes out, goes through high school, goes through college, has never worked or held a job. They buy them cars. They have all this. They get all this stuff. They have never done a thing in their life ever taking care of themselves. See, we taught our kids faith. They got cars. They went and got them themselves. They got cars. And they got good cars. By stepping out, doing something, they got good cars. And it turned out, but they walked out and started walking on their own, and somebody saw it and turned around and paid for the cars for them. Two different times. See, when somebody saw this, if you ain't doing nothing, you ain't going to get me to help you at all. I ain't coming taking care of for what you don't do. You know, if you don't work, it ain't feeding you lunch. If you're working and having a hard time having lunch, we'll have lunch together. I'll see you get lunch. But when you ain't doing nothing, I'm sorry, you ain't getting lunch. Why? Because you don't help people doing that. You teach people because, see, you want people to be blessed and have a blessed life. I can't take care of everybody. Haven't we noticed that in the church world? Our government is $34 trillion in debt, and a huge part of that debt is because of what we're doing to take care of people who ain't doing nothing. So see, these are the things that we're dealing with in our problems. Hallelujah. But you know, God has a plan because see, we're dealing with John the Baptist. There's things I want to read to you because concerning the spirit of Elijah, and I had read this before, but I want to read it to you again concerning Kenneth Hagin when his mother, the visitation that she had, because she didn't tell him about it, and the Lord spoke to him about this. But it's important because when I got saved, you know, when I got saved, the Lord told me to specifically, He said, you follow His teaching very closely. You stay with that. You stay with His teaching. And He spoke to me really clear about that. And God always dealt with me after that of not following after. That doesn't mean other people don't have stuff. But see, you need to understand the part. What part do you have to play? See, too many people are listening to stuff all over the place. They're listening. This is why those things are so messed up today. People, they don't know where they belong. They don't know what they're to do. If I took over the years of how many people over the years concerning this church came and say, God sent them here. Any person that ever told me God sent them here has left. I believe 100% God sent them. But when they come, they don't hear what they want to hear. That's what the problem is. As soon as they start hearing certain things, they're adios amigos. See, God's trying to get them into their place of where they belong so He can... many of them, they want to be used. They want to be... But hold it. No, I've already picked and chosen what I want. I want to know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, I've always told people, say, you know, you're out here looking for a good church. I said, that must be pretty neat. God never gave me that opportunity. He always told me where I had to go. And you know what? He wouldn't send me to the pleasant place. It didn't happen. He sent me the place sometimes was discomfort because I had to learn to walk by faith in discomfort. Most people don't know a thing about faith. They think faith is a removal of all discomfort. Faith will lead you right into discomfort. Jesus, his ministry is going to start. Baptized in water by John the Baptist. And he comes up and the Holy Spirit comes on him. Now he's full of the Holy Ghost. And he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted. Yeehaw! That's what I was looking for. Got full of the Holy Ghost and now temptation? What is... I'm sorry, I'm picking another ministry. What is it? I got to find another church. I don't want the wilderness church. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We got the wilderness. And that's it. But see, we did. It isn't about, it's about comfort. It's about being able to use your faith. Use it. I found this out. As long as I can maintain in the level of place of using my faith, I will maintain my joy. If you've lost joy, it's because you're not walking by faith. You got to come up. Things will try to get you to move you from faith. That's the big thing the devil will do. You know, he'll cause things around you to happen and people get focused on that thing happening. No, focus on your faith because that's where you can maintain joy. You can't maintain joy. You can't be around bad stuff and without and maintain joy if you can't maintain your faith. If people and what they're doing this is your distraction, then you have become a distraction. You're part of the distraction. You got to come to the place and now, this stuff is going on. I must maintain my faith. Because see, faith means this. You have something you're believing for in a place that you're going to. If you don't have that, if it's just a work every day and it's just a whatever, now you have to have it. There's certain goals that I set. You know, I set from the state of the book goals. In fact, I'll tell you what, this year, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to walk better and not things discourage me or let things get to me. I'm going to set myself. See, I set myself on a faith. This is what I'm going to do. Why? Because I'm going to tell you this. This year's going to not be as pretty as last year. I'm just telling you, it's not. See, when people, they don't have their faith set. They have their faith set. We're going to have all this good stuff. No, I have my faith set because things are not going to be good, but I don't want those distractions taking away from my fellowship with God, my fellowship with the Lord, my walking in faith, being able to believe God. I don't want to get over into those places. And many people, they can't. They don't. They talk about, I have faith in Jesus. For what? You might have faith you got saved one day, but what is your faith to do from day to day? What is it? What are my goals and what are I set? You know, we have goals of stuff or things we want. How about maintaining a spiritual life with joy and peace? I'm going to tell you what, if you can do that, you're the multi-billionaire of Christianity. Amen. Most faith people, and even call themselves faith people, don't know very much about really billionaire faith. It's all for them. It's about money. It ain't about money. So I can maintain my joy and peace in times of trouble come. What am I like when trouble comes? What, you know, how do I get when trouble comes? I want to, you know, am I part of the trouble? Did I instigate the trouble? I know none of you ever did that. It was just me. But anyhow, with Kenneth Hagin's mom, it said as she walked down the dirt street headed toward her parents' house. She heard the sound of wind blowing through the trees. She stopped and looked around. She was in front of Aunt Mary's house and there wasn't a tree in sight. She continued on and heard the sound again. She thought the weather may be turning bad and she looked into the sky and there wasn't any clouds, just blue sky. She heard the sound again and stopped and looked into the sky. This time she saw a cloud and the cloud came down out of the sky and stopped right above her head. Jesus was standing on the cloud and spoke to her and said, "Fear not, the child shall be born and you shall call his name John. Just as John the Baptist was a forerunner of my first coming, your son will be a forerunner of my second coming." And she ran off. She was frightened. She ran down to her mom's place. Her mom said, "Lily, don't tell anybody. They'll think you're crazy." And she's right. People would think you're crazy, you know. I mean, today, you know, I know ministers, and I've even heard spirit-filled ministers, you know, they think you're strange if you talk about hearing from God. It bothers me if people don't. That's what bothers me, that people ain't hearing from God. I have never known in my Christianity God not speak to me in tongues. I have not known it. From the day I was born again, the night I got born again, the Lord spoke to me certain things about my life and the direction I was going to. I knew it. I don't know anything other. And I started to learn to be led by the Spirit, and I've learned the Holy Ghost. He talks often. He's trying to direct me. He's trying to direct me. He's trying to help me get in the will of God. That's what he wants. He wants me to walk toward the will of God. See, there's things that we can know general in the Word, but we need for our own lives have specific direction for ourselves of what God wants me to do. You know, who does God want you to contact? God may have people out here specifically you want to specifically go to help, people you're supposed to give money to. And I'll just tell you this, it ain't always the pretty people you want. If he puts you around annoying people all the time, it's because you have a problem with annoying. And you better get right about it. Because you need to hear God when the annoying's going on. See, I learned to hear God in the battle. If you can only hear God when everything's quiet and everything's cute, you ain't going to have much of a Christian life. You need to hear when the battle, when the wars, when all the annoying's going on and all the stuff. I'm going to tell you, Lord, talk to this boy. I need help. But people don't expect. They expect, well, you know, we hear out here, you know, and, you know, I believe there's times, you know, you get away and get quiet. But I'll tell you what, I've heard time and time again, I've heard God when the war was on. And boy, I needed to hear it at the time. Boy, when I heard it, it was like, oh my God, it was so good. It was so good to have God speak to you when all that trouble's going on. It's like, because man, you get over and think you're alone. It don't look like nothing's working right. You need that. When everything's around you, see, you don't want to get over because you get so annoyed and you get in that place after a while. You get discouraged. Your face starts flies out the window and you don't want to go to that place. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read to you here because Kenneth Hagin, later when the Lord spoke to him about that, and I want you to hear this is what the Lord said to him when he told him about his mom's incident. And he said to him, he said, Jesus told him, he says, my angel protected you before you were born and has watched over you since that time. I appeared to your mother before you were born and told her to name you John. Well, she hadn't done that. He said, I told her that just as John the Baptist was a forerunner to my first coming, you would be a forerunner to my second coming. And it says his mother failed to name him John. And the Lord said, well, that wasn't the most important. What was the most important is him doing the ministry that he was called to. See, that's, you know what? Today we put so much things on titles. It don't matter about titles. I often agree with Brother Hagin. You can put anything, any label on an empty can. Don't put nothing in it. It doesn't matter about titles. It matters about you doing the will of God. People will know that if you have something. You know, Brother Hagin said, if you have a teaching gift, people will know it. And I run into people who call themselves teachers, and I'm going to tell you what, it's like, oh my God, I wish they would go do, you know, be anything. Go out, you know, mow lawns or something. But quit teaching! You ain't got a gift. People will know. But I want you to see this, what he said. He told him, he said, I told her that as John the Baptist was the forerunner to the coming Christ, you will be a forerunner. See, he's not the end of it. John was the forerunner. He was in him embodied the whole thing of being a forerunner. Kenneth Hagin wasn't. He was a forerunner or a sign to people coming. He's a sign. See, he left. See, when John the Baptist left, the Messiah was there. Kenneth Hagin left. He wasn't. Why? Because he is a forerunner. See, out of his ministry, he raised up out of his ministry was about the whole ministry thing, and people he raised up was all about the forerunner thing. See, when I went to Rhema, the Lord said to me, I didn't send you to Rhema just to learn some things. He said, I sent you there about an anointing. That's about the anointing I sent you there. It's the anointing you get there. See, most people, they miss that. They go, and it's all, oh, I want to learn all this stuff. That's fine to learn some things, but I'm going to tell you, I understood this. There's anointing to be had. Hooking up with an anointing. See, people will sit in a church and not hooked up with the anointing of the minister. They don't ever hook up to it. They just listen to information, but never hook up to it over time. I've had people, you know, over years, and I can see that. They never hook up the anointing. There's one thing, see, when you and I hook up an anointing and a flow that God has us in, all that thing inspires you concerning how your life is, how your faith is, and that stuff. See, it's one thing as I learned. See, you get around people of faith. You don't want to just be around people of faith. You want to be a person of faith where people can get around. An influence. And see, some people never pick up on none of it. And they never become a person of faith, and they never become a thing on influencing other people concerning faith. There's an anointing. It's flowing. See, Brother Hagin had an anointing. That anointing inspired people to believe. God gave specific revelations to that man that he was caught up. God had visions for those specific revelations. Those are the things that people need for this last day move of God, that his people that are going to follow this to turn people's hearts to God. And most people who, I have followed those revelations because those revelations, that God would deal with a man in that manner and give him those revelations. How much should it be important that Jesus would appear to a person to make sure that they got these certain revelations out of the scriptures? That you get these revelations. Like how to be led by the Spirit. See, Brother Hagin's around. Those books and things, or you could get the CDs or MP3s of all that stuff. How many people do it or don't? They don't. You understand? People are going to be accounted for this. It's not somebody else just, you know, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to really be, and they just give this to me. No, you're going to have to go after it. I didn't wait for anybody to give it to. I didn't wait to get to Rhema to learn how to be led by the Spirit. I bought all the books and tapes and stuff, and I had those, and I learned how to be led by the Spirit before I got there. And I got to Rhema, and the majority of the students didn't know a thing about being led by the Spirit. And they're there going through stuff they would have never had to go through. They were sitting around, just sitting in a church, waiting for somebody else to teach to them. I spent the money to learn. I went after things to know them. See, because the more I hung around the anointing of listening to Brother Hagin, just like I said, it isn't just about listening to what he teaches. It's that anointing. That got on me more and more. It makes you into something different. It makes you into something different. It isn't just sin. There's about anointing. And we've lost that in Christianity. We've become, here in America, the American church is just an educated bunch of people. We know and believe things, but we have no anointing to perform. It takes God's anointing for us to perform in His kingdom. If you can do it without God, what do we need Him for? God don't anoint Ed, it's just Ed. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's just Ed. You ever been in that place? It was just you? Hallelujah. Well, I've been there too. I want you to read this because God dealing with him has told me to go back over to put some things in some order here. A teaching about here and what are we in? There are signs that we can see that were prophesied by Brother Hagin, and there were word prophecy, but in a vision. That we can see it marked in our time to know the time that we're living in. We're in a time that has already been spoken by the Lord to know this by an individual God had called specifically for me and you to get ready for the return of Jesus Christ and to help others get ready for the return of Jesus Christ. This is what it's about, getting people. My ministry is for the church. My ministry specifically is not for the world. It's for the church. It's to get Christians to get ready. And I've had over the years is people, you know, they just keep going along in their similar path that they stick. No, you got to understand the time you're in. In the time that we live in, God will begin to speak to us in the time that we live. Too many people are tied to something past and only listen to the past. No, it's what we do right now. What do I need to do right now? What's His emphasis now? Is right now, God wants Christians to get ready for the return of Jesus Christ. It's more important than houses and lands and all that kind of stuff. It is more important. When Jesus comes, ain't none of that going with you. And many people are going to stay here with it. It's not that. Hey folks, I believe in prosperity. Thanks God. God's blessed my life. But you know what? You have to have priorities that are before whatever it is, just living a good life. Just living a good life. I mean, there's got to be more than that. But anyhow, in Kenneth Hagin's vision, this took place in September 2nd of 1950. Now, the healing revivals had begun in 1948. So we're like 2 years into this, and the Spirit of God gives him a vision and begins to speak to him. But anyhow, I'm going to read you this part. It says, about that time, he says, the Holy Spirit came upon me again, and he said, I fell flat on my face. And this is where he was in a This vision actually, I've never heard him ever tell this vision in its full, because it lasted a couple hours, and he would minister and he would talk about different segments of this thing at different times, because it was a long period of time over the time of his trip. There's certain revelations that he received during this time period. So he said, I lay under the power. He said, I saw a horseman riding at full speed. Anyhow, what he does is he comes down to the thing where this horseman comes up and he has a scroll, and he's told to read, he's handed the scroll. He's told to read the scroll. And he said he was just dumbfounded. And he said the man on the horse reached over and touched his head and said, read in the name of Jesus. And he began to read the scroll. And to read the scroll, he said, he told him to read the scroll. He says, take it and read. And here, wonderful introduction to the thing. War and destruction. My God, that's what I was looking for, I'll tell you. But I want you to understand this. He's speaking to the end times. Who's he speaking to? The church. Now, he said, I was struck dumb and unable to speak. And he said, he laid his hand on my head and said, read in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, I began to read. This is what he said. Then he said, I looked at the words. He began to read, and then he looked at the words. And as he would read, he could see then what his words were saying, what was going on. He made this statement. He said, I saw thousands and thousands of men in uniform marching to war. I saw many women, old, white-haired, middle-aged, and even young, with babies in their arms, bowed together in sorrow and weeping profusely. I saw the skylines of a large city, and when I looked again, he said the skyscrapers were burned out halls. He said the city is in ruins. There was written that not just one city would be thus destroyed, but many. Now, I want to see the thing. It says many. Now, one of the things that is that I want to say, because Kenneth Hagin said part of this was fulfilled with the riots and things back in the 1960s. He said it was part, but this isn't the end of it. In other words, we have things going. See, we're seeing this stuff. We're heading back into this again. You think riots and things are going to stop then? No. It's going to get to be more. There's more coming. There's more coming. We need to understand. There's more coming, folks. Now, he saw these people marching off the war. He said, he saw the skylines. He said, I continued to read the scroll. He said, it's written in the first person. It was just like Jesus himself speaking. He said, America is receiving her last call. Some nations have already received their last call and will never receive another. The time of the end of all things is at hand was repeated at least 4 or 5 times. He said also that this was the last great revival. Now, I want you to think about this. He is in a revival has started. And Jesus said, this is the last great one. And you know what? It was the last great revival for America. The healing revival went in the charismatic renewal and that whole big... We never had a revival last that long in America where it just carried through all that period of time. He said, this is the last great... And this is the... I'm going to tell you what the difference is. The difference is this. This last move of God will not be all over America. That move was... You went every place. And that move, God called out to America the whole thing. And we'll talk about this. But see, people need to awake to this. There is a move of God coming, but it isn't coming everywhere. It's not coming everywhere. There are places. See, God will go into an area, even like a nation. He'll go into a place and he'll give them a call. And he'll go in and pour out his spirit. But you know what? He returns again to it. It won't be in the same manner, because the people who had the move, if they ain't walking in the light of it, he don't visit them again. He goes to the people who don't know, or people who desire and want it. We need to understand the difference of it. I wonder why those things happen. And then I heard Kenneth Hagin talk about the fact of it, because he had the same question. He said, Lord, why do I go to certain places and certain places to minister, and it's just the hardest thing to get something done? What's going on? Am I missing it somewhere? Lord, tell him you ain't missing it. He said, I visited those people, he said, years ago in revival, and he said, they don't walk in the light of it. And he said, you won't get a move of God going until they walk in the light. You won't get another one. They got to walk in the light. See, that's why God calls people to repent and turn, get over in the light. He wants to move. But people like the way things are. People enjoy things the way they are. But he said, this is the last great revival. Now, Now, that's hard for people to take today because, see, we have all this. This is going to be this great revival. America is going to do all this wonderful stuff. We don't have that from standpoint. America ain't going to side nationally with Israel. I mean, our president right now is already wavering. Why? Because of votes. You wouldn't see it. Washington is moved by votes, not righteousness.
Amen. That's right.
Both parties. We got to do things, you know. Oh, man, I'll tell you. You know, we're going to make a stand on this economy and not let them spend all that money. Let's do another continuing resolution here and that stuff. Let's get this thing here going because, you know, we don't want... $34 trillion ain't going to put the nation under us. We can't afford to... It might shut down. We won't spend any money. How can something ever work if you don't spend money? How is that going to ever happen? You got to spend money. Why? Because that's the God of America. The government is a place of money. Back in Bill Clinton's time, so the Lord spoke to me back then because I asked the question then. I thought they were fighting a lot back then. That was kindergarten playground. That was today. But the Lord said to me, I'm judging the God of America. I'm judging the government. It's about money. Now, listen. This is concerning the church. This is concerning the church. Jesus is speaking in the last days before He returns. This is the church. He says it. All the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation in these last days, and the church will do greater things than even the early church did and have greater power, signs, wonders than were written in the book of Acts the Apostle. He said, we have seen and experienced many healings, but see, at that time, they're into the healing revival started. This going, in other words, that's going to start to pick up. And things picked up into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All this stuff moved down through into this. We're moving down in these areas. He said, we would have experienced healings. He said, but would now behold amazing miracles such as not been seen before. He said, more and more miracles will be performed in the last days, which are just ahead. And he said, now understand, he's saying these are just ahead. This is just ahead. Now when we deal with time, see, we look at time, it's not like that. But we need to back over and look at the other prophets. Isaiah prophesied about things that happened after he, many, many years after he died. But he told about what was going to happen. He's warning Israel. Many of that generation weren't even around anymore. They died. But see, if they paid attention, they'd have been warning the people beyond them, but they didn't. When they didn't pay no attention, they didn't train their kids right or treat their and raise up things. So the next generation is in bad shape. This is where we're at today. Generations are in bad shape. Because why? The people that were told and pass it on, they just let them do what they wanted. Took care of them in their sin. He did all kinds. Oh well. But he said, work, he said, many of my own people will not accept the moving of my spirit and will turn back and will not be ready to meet me at my coming. See, I see this today. People are turning back. They're turning back from the moves of the spirit. People who walked in it during the charismatic renewal, today, those same churches don't want to have none of that stuff in their church. They don't want it in there. He said, they're not going to be ready to meet me at my coming. See, you don't walk in the light. People need to know. I don't care. The Baptist guy over here, he may not know a thing about baptism of the Holy Ghost. He don't know a thing about it. He walks in the light he has. He's much better off than any spirit-filled person who don't walk in the light of it. He's much better off. So when you got to walk in the light you have. Why? If you don't, it's sin. You can't know to do something, to know good and do it not. It's a sin. That's to walk in sin. See, we got to go to the light. We need to walk over in it. But many, he said, they won't accept the moving of my spirit, will turn back, and will not be ready to meet me at cunning. He said, many will be deceived. Many. Now, he said a couple of people. This is going to happen to a few. He says, many. He's speaking concerning here in America. This is speaking concerning our nation. This is our nation right here. This prophecy is to our nation. This is us. Many of my people, they won't accept the move of the Spirit, they won't return. He said, many will be deceived by false prophets and miracles of satanic origin. I've watched this. I mean, over the last 2 decades, I have watched people. Anybody comes along with any kind of sign of anything, there's oil in your hands, blood in your hands, you know, gold flakes showing up, you know, diamonds and whatever, jewels and all kinds of things. All this stuff, people just follow and flock after. I've watched it in every, it isn't some just flaky group over here. If Rhema people followed it, all kinds of, I've watched it. Why? People want natural things to see. What was Jesus' ministry? Did Jesus ever make jewels or did ever do, you know, oil? No. You know, you want to understand this. Gifts of the Spirit are doing something to bless people. It is never to show off. It is never to draw attention to a person. This guy makes jewels show up. What good is that? None of the jewels he ever got were worth anything. They got this gold flake and they went to check it out. They found out it wasn't even real gold. This stuff shows up, but it's not real gold. If it was real gold, they could really make some money at this. But it's not. The devil's a deceiver. And he's a show-off. That's what he wanted Jesus to do when he took him out in the wilderness. Hey, doesn't the word say, you know, he'll give his angels charge over you lest you dash your foot on a stone? Jump off the top of the temple. Make a show. Jesus said, don't tempt the Lord your God. That's what these people do. They're tempting God. See, people want a show. People love a show. I'll take the anointing. I'll take manifestations of the Holy Ghost any day that bless and help people's lives. We want something out of here. We get people to get healed. People don't need another show. There's plenty of them. There's enough entertainment on TV and on the things. And I'll tell you what, in the next year or so, you'll see so much on AI, you won't be able to tell what on earth is real or not. You won't know. And you'll see a show. I'll guarantee you. And I'll tell you, Christians will follow it by the hordes. It'll astound you. He said, false prophets, miracles, steady. Now, this is going to happen in American church in the last days. Now, this was said in 1950, and still the Spirit-filled people ain't paying no attention to it. They didn't, most of them don't like Brother Hagin. And then you get all these prophets are talking about, oh, it's going to be so glorious and wonderful. And they said they followed Brother Hagin. No, you didn't. God spoke. And I want to tell you, it's happening today. I've been watching it go on today. Listen to this. He says, what do you say to do? But follow the word of God. First, you follow the word. He said, next, the Spirit of God. Then he said, and me. You need to understand, if you aren't walking in the word and following the Spirit, ain't no way you're going to follow Jesus. Jesus is the word. The Holy Spirit, His whole job is to take what belongs to Jesus and show it to you. And if you can't be led by the Spirit, there's no way you can follow Jesus. See, those revelations God gave was so we could follow the Lord. That's why He gave them. Those are the things that are needed in the church realm for us to follow the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why Brother Hagin was always such a stickler about the Word, you know. The Word. Does it match up with it? He'd tell us all the time. Doesn't matter what I say. You look to the Word. What does the Word say? Find out for the Word. See, he'd always put the Word first. Never put himself first. Put the Word first. Let's get the Word out there. But these men, these people said, but follow the Word in me. And he said, follow me and you will not be deceived. Now listen to what he says. I am gathering my own together and preparing them for the time is short. What's God doing? Just think about it. From that time, God has been working to prepare His people and drawing His people to Him. People haven't paid attention. We've gotten into all kinds of stuff. Now listen. Then they said there were several other exhortations that were given on this for about praying and not being deceived. See, one of the big things that Paul said about people, we get deceived following doctrines of devils. See, it's the Bible says it. It said in the last days, this is what people are going to do. Hey, this wasn't something new said. It's already said in the Scriptures. Paul told us what people were going to be like in the next day. Lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. Well, all these things were said. But you know, but we have all the prophets in. No, not us. We're going to be this glorious thing and we're going to have all this. I'm sorry. There's going to be glorious things happen. But I'm going to tell you what, you're going to need glorious things happening because all the bad is going to be happening. You don't need glory if things ain't so good. Things are so, everything's going great. Well, now he went on to say this. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also in the coming of the Son of Man be. As I finally spoke to Noah and said, yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from the face of the earth. So today I am speaking and giving America her last warning and a call to repentance. And the time that is left is comparable to the last 7 days of Noah. From that time that he spoke, God says it's like his last 7 days of Noah, telling people they need to repent. Well, if those generations need to repent, what about this one? See, there's an arrogance in the church world today. Even people that are, they ain't bad people, but they think they're better than they are because they keep measuring themselves against the people in the world. Look how bad they are. Don't see how much bad they have become and how much they have yielded to things that aren't right. We don't have a dedication toward God today. Like, even when I came into the kingdom, there's not a dedication to God by most Spirit-filled Christians. Not even close to what we had. Not even close. Well, see, things have changed. Well, he went on and said, he said, America's have its late morning to repentance. And it's comparable to the last 7 days of Noah's time. What did he say? Tell everybody you love them and how wonderful they are. He said, warn this generation. See, there's a warning needs to go up. We need to start warning. Say, hey, hold it. Jesus is coming back. You don't give warnings because everything's good. Most Christians, you can't throw up a warning, they'll get mad at you. You don't give them no warning. Warn this generation as did Noah his generation, for judgment is about to fall. See, we have had judgment. See, along the way, we in the 60s, we had, you know, rising up in our nation and all kind of stuff. Things went on back then. They were all warnings of the time that was ignored. It was just ignored. Let go. We went through the Vietnam War. Vietnam War was judgment on America. That's why America can't win a war. It's always judgment. We jumped in thing. We're big bad. We're going to take care of people. Who needs God? America's come. And most American conservatives feel the same way. I don't want people qualifying me as a conservative because I don't know what that means anymore. I have no idea. I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. Now, but he said, this generation, he says, for judgment's about to fall. These things shall be fulfilled shortly, for I'm coming soon. He said again. Now, then he says again, this is the last revival, and I am preparing my people for my coming. Hallelujah. So, in other words, we're just supposed to be getting ready for the return of Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Hallelujah. Getting ourselves, make sure we're walking right, doing what's right. Hallelujah. So, listen to this. Judgment is coming now, but I will call my people away even unto myself before everything gets really great and wonderful. He said, before the worst shall come. Do you know things are going to get worse? But don't get discouraged, folks. But see, people will get discouraged because of all the lying prophets that are talking, oh, everything's going to get glorious. I believe the power of God is going to be poured out. The Lord told me it would. There's things going to happen. It's going to be glorious, but it's going to be in the middle of a mess. Because there's going to be much darkness out there. Just as how glorious the light is, the dark will be as dark as the glory of the light. It's going to be those two extremes. And you're going to have it in America, not over in Africa. I'm going to tell you, there's countries in Africa have more light than America does today. That's why God sends missionaries to America now. Literally does. People have been called from other countries to come to America. Like, we ain't got enough preachers. Well, we ain't got loads of false prophets, but we need some preachers. We need people come and say, hey, wake up, space cadets. Hallelujah. Praise God. But before the, he said, the worst shall come, but be faithful, watch and pray. He says, we're concluded. He said, the time of the end of all things is at hand. Now I want to read you that because, see, we need to get this. I want you to get it. It's not to be doom and gloom for us. That's not, it's just what it is of the time we're in. Think of the Christians that lived through the Roman persecutions and all that kind of stuff. You know, God's not telling us, you know, we're all going to die and the thing, but we need to understand this, that we're living in a time, we're going to have to stand up by faith. That He wants us to. God wants to pour, He's going to make His last call on the earth. I do not believe that America nationally is going to respond to a, nationwide is going to respond to a call. I don't think America is going to do it. See, all these people, well, you know, we're going to be the great light to the world. We already had that opportunity and we're doing it and we left that. Like the Lord told to Oral Roberts, He said, America is sending its garbage to the other nations. And that's what it's become, sending garbage. America is the garbage carrier to the world now, trying to get them to abort as many kids as they can, trying to do every other evil and wicked thing. Now, I want to read to you this because this is something I gave to you guys, but I want to, you know, this stuff recorded because, you know, it's online. People listen to it, they'll know it was said. But from the 1963 vision of Kenneth Hagin. Now, Kenneth Hagin was ministering in a church at that time. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. He's ministering in a church, 1963. This prophecy was not released till, maybe 5 years ago. Wasn't released. It was done at that time, but it was interesting. They never released it. Now, when I first saw the prophecy and the thing, I saw it was printed out, but I wanted to, you know, I wanted to find out, did Brother Hagin, was this his prophecy? I wanted to know. Well, I heard the original prophecy. I physically heard it. And it's Brother Hagin. This was a vision he had, and he's telling people what he saw in the vision, this vision he had, and he's telling it out, what he saw. He got caught up. He said, you know, he went up in the air. He said he stood with Jesus. He got a call with Jesus. He stood in the air. He said the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was standing in the air with him. And he said he looked down upon it. He saw like a map on the earth. First he looked down and he said he saw the entire nation. Again, this is about America. This is America. This is about America. He's looking at America. Now, I want to say this because I'm going to talk about again about the vision that I had concerning America, because this, when I looked at what he showed him, this is, he saw this in 1963, and I saw this over in the 90s. I had this vision, and so it's a long time in between. And when I read this, I saw this for the first time. I thought, my God, this is in line with things I saw. And so he looks down, he sees a map of a continental United States, and he said, I look and I saw, and he said, behold, the Lord says, behold, son, I shall show you that which shall come to pass, and that which the eyes of many shall see, and they shall remember that their ears heard that it shall come to pass. For there came a dark hand up out of the ocean from the east, even from the Atlantic Ocean. It came up out of the sea as a hand, and as it rose up in the air, it became a dark cloud, and it filled the whole atmosphere. Yet, and it swept in like a storm at sea. And I said, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, what's the meaning of this? And he said, and he spoke to me and said, son, this is the darkness of atheistic communism that is sweeping across the nation. Even the minds of men in high places and politicians with great power. And this nation shall not grow more strong, and yet you shall not have more liberties than you have now, but liberties that you have known. And you have seen shall be seized and taken from you. Huh. Well, see, this is not the thing that you publish in the church world today. You can't even publish this along big name ministries of Spirit-filled ministries. We don't like talk about this. No, they keep talking. Everything's going to turn out cool. This is the parts we don't like to hear. You know, everything is going to get good. We're just going to believe God and make everything all right. And everything is going to, you know, and see, they got this thing. They really do believe that if they just believe it's going to be all right, it's all right. You just keep thinking happy thoughts. Our earth is winding down to the greatest judgments that have ever fell on the face of the earth. It's winding down toward that. It's not winding down toward the most glory you've ever seen in your life. Thank God when Jesus, we're going to see bad. It don't surprise me this year of things that we may very see. I'm not going to prophesy this or that. There's just things I have senses about. I ain't going to say God said. You know, it's just I have senses about this year of things. But, we don't need, we'll find out. Well, he said, and I looked again and I could see upon the mountain a blotch. He says, as though a bottle of ink had been spilled and spread out over several states in the south and the east. And he said, I looked and I could see spots blotched all over the map. And I said, Lord, what's this meaning? He said, communistic inspired hatred among races shall cause greater turmoil than your nation has seen. Therefore, now remember, this is in the 60s when he's saying this. But he's telling what's going to come. The 60s had all these riots and stuff. No, it's going to be worse than that. So he said, spread to several states. He said, and he said, communists. He said, yes, and not the will of God, but men's hearts are perverse, and they will walk without the love of God and seek to have their own way, and so it shall be worse than you have seen. Now, I know this isn't like the jump over the pew message. But you know, if we know what's coming, we know how to walk. But if you don't know, if you're in this la-la land of people, everything's just going to be all right and everything's going to be okay, I'm sorry, you're not going to be ready for nothing. No, we know what's coming. See, when you see this stuff come, then you say, well, you know, God said it. I just walk by faith. God will take care of me. He'll look after me. But see, when you're told everything is going to be all right and it isn't all right, what's wrong with me? What happened? Is there something wrong with it? See, there's a lot of spirit-filled Christians in that situation. They have left lesson to these lying prophets for so long about things going to be all right. They don't know what to think about today. They don't know what to say about. Well, we were told. We were told everything. How could anybody preach that everything's going to be all right? It ain't going to be all right. It can now happen. It ain't ever happened in my lifetime. I've had wonderful blessing in my life and I've had some challenges in my life. Hallelujah. It's like Brother Hagin said, faith, grace is great faith made through great trials. And if you ever have any great trials, you don't have great faith. And he said, you know, nobody looks forward to having great trials. But everybody wants to have great faith, nothing happening. Well, said, and I said, Oh Lord, is there a remedy? Is there a remedy? What shall be the answer? And he said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's scriptural. That's New Testament. Huh. Well, it's a wonder Jesus quoted that. But he says this, then I said, oh Lord, do we have nothing to look forward to in the future except darkness, the blackness, war, destruction, and evil? And he said, son of man, forget not your text, for you looked at the things not seen. The title of his message was "Looking at Things Unseen." And see, this is where when you get into these times, you can't walk by seeing. These are the times you walk by faith. What the Bible says, hallelujah, that's what you got to do. If you can't do that with the things happening now, if things get worse, you ain't going to be able to do that then either. See, we must be able to do that. He said, and he said, he goes on and he said, son of man, forget not that, the title is mine. He said, so then I said, I looked into the spirit realm and I saw falling upon the mountain a ball of fire from heaven. Said, the closer to the earth, the bigger it got. And then when it came to earth, it divided into small balls, sparks of fire, and fell upon men. And he said, and I saw an army of men rise up, and it seemed as though their hands were fire. And he said, and there sat upon their heads a tongue of fire. He said, and then he made this statement. He said, when I saw it first, he said, it seemed like their whole head was on fire, but he said it was really a tongue of fire leaping up from their head. Hallelujah. And he said, before the worst shall come, here again, this worst shall come. See, when the worst comes, we're going to be leaving. Now he says, before it gets here, this is going to happen. This fire is going to fall. This fire is going to fall. He said, it didn't wait. When everything gets real good, then we'll have the fire. No, he's talking about fire that's going to fall before it gets to its worst. Why? Because it's going to take fire to turn people around. It'll take fire. He said, before the worst shall come and the day of darkness encompass, there will be those who shall go and who shall carry the fullness of my truth and the fire, not only to the states of this nation, but to many places. For there is a work that must be done first spiritually before the Lord shall come. And he said, now prepare your hearts. And he went on with those things about, you know, what to do. See, we need to get ourselves in line with this. The reason we need an out, you don't need an outpouring of spirit if things are good. We need an outpouring of the spirit. But there's one thing, see, I want you to be encouraged. Don't be discouraged by what you see and how bad things are getting. There's an outpouring of the Spirit. God has planned. That's what you and I prepare for. Hallelujah. Fire fall on me. Glory to God. That's what we're setting ourselves for. God's calling us. Our job is to this, is to repent. Get ourselves ready for His coming. The rest of it is God's hand to work it out. It's not we're going to make Him send fire or we're going to do this. This is fire will fall whether people get ready or not. There's people that won't be ready. Fire will fall and they will not be ready at all for it. But God's going to drop it because there always will be a people who are ready for it. There's always ones that are going to be ready for the fire to drop on them and there'll be a blessing in this really bad time. And we're in a really bad time, you know. You know, I was so sad to hear Trump say, you know, he said, I'm the only help for America. And I thought, oh, poor guy. Wake up. You're the only help for America. Dear Trump, that's all we got is you. We're in big trouble. That's like saying Ed's the hope of America. You're in trouble, guys. You're in huge trouble. So, I mean, those are the things I just want to share with you today. It's not looking at doom and gloom. It shows us we're in a time period in this earth. We're heading toward the days of the Antichrist going to take over. We're heading toward the great tribulation period that's going to come. We're heading to the time there's the greatest judgments that are ever going to fall on this earth and upon people, upon human beings. We're falling on upon a time there's going to be many people in this world during that time period going to take the mark of the beast and being unable to be saved. They'll never be saved. They're going to walk and turn. See, we don't know. Go over read Thessalonians. God said He's going to turn those people over to reprobate minds so they can't believe the truth. Well, I thought God would always try to. People don't know God. There is so little knowledge of the character of God today. We have this one part of God, and it just becomes the whole ballpark of Christianity. It's not. It's not. We don't know that God will go to the point, you get out of line so far, He won't draw you. You can't come to God. You need to understand this. Nobody ever got saved because they sought God. No one comes to the Son except the Father draw them. Ain't one person ever got, I hear these people, well, I began to seek God and I got saved because I, no, you didn't. You'd have never sought God if God had not drawn you. I got to Jesus because God drew me. God was doing the drawing. We need to understand this. We as Christians today, we have this thing and put ourselves in a class that we're not in. There needs to be a humility toward God. We need to have a humility toward Him and His abilities and that stuff. And we need to let Him know, just like the prophet did, say, hey, Lord, you know, we want them to know that You're God. That's what we want to know. That You're God. I'm just a servant down here. I'm doing what You said, but You're the guy that burns the rocks up. You're the guy that licks up the water. You're the guy that does that. I don't do that. I want their hearts drawn back to You, not to me. We have too many ministers drawing people to themselves. We've got to stop this stuff. We've got to stop this. It's not about drawing people. I often thought how sad it was that men would follow. Just think about John the Baptist. John the Baptist, when he goes out, starts ministering, he gets disciples following after him. It's only, but it should because, I mean, they realize this guy's hooked up to where God's going. Jesus comes along and they still follow John. And he even tells them, He's the Lamb of God. It takes away the sin of the world. And they keep following John. Then John dies. What's going on? Well, I guess this really wasn't God. It wasn't working. Let's go do it. When men follow men. Men following men. Don't do that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's keep Jesus in the forefront of things. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, I believe there's this anointing. This anointing, Lord God, that goes way back yonder in the scriptures concerning a prophet. I want to thank you that that anointing is still working down through today, that you're still anointing people. Hallelujah. Lord God, you haven't changed what you're doing and what you're doing in the times. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we're not hooked to think because we're so smart. I'd have never known none of this had you not revealed. I wouldn't have had a clue. Lord God, it's your wonderful Holy Spirit who's a teacher, who guides us. And Lord God, we sure do want to cooperate with you in this time. Lord God, we want to warn people and we want to tell people, hallelujah, it's a time to get ready. It's a time for an awakening, hallelujah, in the church. Lord God, I don't want you to have to do a miracle to wake me up. Hallelujah. Lord God, you by the Holy Spirit are speaking to our hearts and even us to hear today. You're speaking to us. You're drawing us to yourself. You're not pushing us away. You're drawing us, hallelujah. You're drawing us closer. You want us to come closer. It's for our benefit and the benefit of others. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you. I thank you for being so good to us in these areas, Lord God, of taking care of us in these areas. And Father, we just want to yield ourselves to you today by the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I just asked you to teach us and instruct us in these areas. Holy Spirit, each one of us to need to know specifically, Lord God, what do you want us to do? Hallelujah. Lord God, you may have a plan for us. Maybe there's a corporate thing, but also as individuals. Lord God, especially, Lord, people, Lord, I pray for each one here today, Lord God, because they need to hear from you for them too. Hallelujah. Not have to just listen to somebody else's voice or somebody that they know that you're talking to them, that you know that they're speaking, Lord God, to encouraging and building their faith. Hallelujah. That they can hear, that you're working in them. Hallelujah. And I just thank you, Father, that you're doing that for them today. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, as you said to me years ago, you wanted people to know you like I did at the time. And hallelujah, Lord, it's the same. You want them to know you. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I know this. I know this without a doubt. You're not holding back in that area. Your desire is for them to know you. Thank you, Father. Father, you're going to reveal yourself in these days and hours. Lord God, I'm so thankful because there are a hungry people that are rising up. Lord, they're all over the place. They're, Lord God, in this nation, there are people that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Lord God, there are people who are preparing themselves and getting ready. You have always had a remnant of people. Lord, just like in the, Lord God, as we look in the book of Revelation, you had remnants sitting in those churches that were all messed up. But yet you had remnants sitting. You had people in there. They hadn't followed this stuff. They walked away. You always have a people. And I just want to thank you. I appreciate the ones, Lord God, because those ones you can use to bring glory, to magnify Jesus Christ, to lift up that name which is above every name. And I just thank you, Father God. Father, I ask you, Lord God, among your remnant of people across this nation and around the world, strengthen them with might by your Spirit in their inner man today. Lord God, lift them up. Give them wisdom and understanding for the age and time, Lord God, they're living in. Father God, I thank you. You give them strength that causes them to overcome in all adversity and all what comes against them. Lord God, you've given them victory to the right and to the left. And Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, the Spirit of seeing and knowing is operating, Lord God, especially among your people that are following you and walking with you, that they'll know what to do, where to walk. Hallelujah. I thank you they'll have wisdom for the time and the age, Lord God, to direct people to the right path and what to walk in. I thank you, Father God, because these are the days and times, Lord God, of the miraculous. Hallelujah. And Lord, my expectations are high. You said this is the time. These last days are the time of the miraculous. So therefore, they will be miraculous. Lord God, I believe we're going to finish off this age. Hallelujah. In such a glorious fashion. Lord God, there's going to be a miracle working church that'll depart in the name of Jesus. That the name of Jesus will be glorified and magnified. That many will come to the light. Hallelujah. And the light shall shine brightly. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.